Hey everyone, I'm Susan Campbell and you're listening to Unfiltered, a podcast where my team of marketing professionals share their thoughts on all things branding. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and hopefully walk away with new info about how to market your business. Enjoy.
Hi, Jenny.
Oh, sorry. Let me put down my phone.
Can I call you Jenny? I've never called you that before.
You can call me Jenny.
You call yourself Jenny when you're yelling at yourself.
I do.
You just did. Oh, come on, Jenny.
That's because of my mother. Nobody calls me Jenny but my husband and my mother.
Oh.
The number one, two people in the world who yell at me the most.
But also love you the most. Yeah,
true. True story.
Yeah. What did you do this weekend?
Oh, what did I do? I had a family wedding.
Yeah, I know. And you wrote a poem. You authored a poem and you won't let me read it.
Oh, honey. Well, first of all, I authored a poem. Did you know that I'm in Chicken Soup for the Soul?
Which one?
Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul 3, page 137.
Really? You know the page number?
Well, yeah. I made 150 bucks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I am an authored poet.
An authored poet?
Whatever.
Just a poet? A publisher?
Anyway,
a publisher?
One of my favorite aunts got married over the weekend, and it was one of the happiest family events that we've ever had. It was beautiful, and it was going to be an outdoor wedding, and it thundered and poured, and so it was inside, and she was just so upset.
Yeah.
But as they were saying their vows, the biggest thunder I've ever heard in my life just roared, and it shook the auditorium we were in. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, we made the right decision. But we danced and the kids had so much fun. And
yeah, I got some snaps of Ryder doing the cha-cha slide.
The cha-cha slide. And then he made up his own dance called the mole, where he basically just puts his arms in front of him and waves. And I taught him how to do my favorite, which is the grocery shopper.
Absolutely. Basic white girl dance.
Right, exactly. And
the lawnmower, the sprinkler.
Yep. And it was just magical.
And you're sore, I'm sure.
My feet are so sore, but that means something fun happened, right?
Every time I go dance at a wedding, the next day I'm like, dear God, I need to start working out.
Am I 80?
This is ridiculous how sore I am.
Oh man, the shoes were worth it, but my feet are wrecked.
Those shoes are awesome.
They were pretty awesome.
Well, fun.
Yeah, what about you?
I'm sure it probably involved drinking wine, my dogs, going on a walk. Actually, I think we did that. We went on a walk.
Did you drink wine and go on a walk? Because that would be amazing.
No, I have goals to do that, but yeah. I need to get a tumbler thing.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's really horrible. We probably hung out with friends. And I'm not remembering who
you went to Aldi.
That was yesterday morning. Listen, people, I've got a PSA. Going to Aldi at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday will change your grocery shopping life.
Just deserted?
Deserted, stocked full. You didn't have to ask anyone if they had something in the back.
Uh-huh.
And only a few old people to maneuver around. God bless you, elderly people. But it was like, I didn't feel pressured to like get out of someone's way in the aisle. Like,
yeah, that's the worst.
I was just, when I got up to the front, I was like, this is the time to shop, isn't it?
And
like,
right.
The girl wasn't all stressed out, like throwing my stuff in the basket. She was like, oh yeah, this is where it's at. So
nice. Duly noted.
Work from home perks. I know that's not everyone's reality, but I will now be grocery shopping Monday mornings at 9 o'clock at the North Oak Trafficway Aldi in Kansas City, Missouri.
So if you want to get an autograph from Anna, that's where she'll be.
Anyway, great. So yeah. But today, we're excited about our guest. We're
keeping
the guests rolling on the podcast.
I've had the pleasure of being on the marketing committee for the United Way of St. Joseph. A lot of their meetings happen on our team meeting day, so I don't always get to all of them. But when I do, it is just the most magical brainstorming session ever. They have some amazing volunteers. And so when we were talking about having people on our podcast this season who are doing some great things in marketing and being really innovative, I knew that Kylie was someone we had to have on here because their message is always consistent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's strong. It's recognizable. There are thousands of volunteers every year.
Right.
So it's obviously effective. So
yeah.
We are going to get some great insight to how she organizes the communication that goes out of from United Way. What is the best route that they found, which I think there is no secret. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you'll find out what she says. It's really insightful. I just knew that she would be super inspirational, and we wanted to hear from nonprofits.
Yeah. I've also had the pleasure of volunteering starting a while back, and then I was in Leadership St. Joe, which the United Way puts on, which is different because most cities that do that, the chamber puts it on. But it was really cool seeing it through the United Way's perspective because I think they really brought to light a lot of the nonprofit stuff that's going on in St. Joe, which was cool. But I've gotten to serve on the allocations committee and I cry every time I do that because you like hear all these stories and then you have to decide like how many dollars to allocate to the organizations, but there's not like enough to go around. And then you're like fighting for your, you know, the people that you, it was really cool. So yeah, I'm excited to talk to Kylie and it's going to be a good one. So
yep. If you are a nonprofit and you've got a very low marketing budget, listen to this podcast. It is going to be helpful because she uses things that cost a lot of money and she uses things that don't cost a lot of money, but she figures out a way to make it work because of the bottom line. And what's most important is getting those volunteers. And so no matter what your marketing budget is, there is a way to market your nonprofit in a way that makes sense and touches the most hearts and gets people's attention.
Yeah. So hope you guys enjoy it.
Lots of nuggets of inspiration.
Oh, there it is.
You know, I can't go. Do you know what else? Guess what?
What?
One of the cool things that Kylie said in this interview that, listeners are going to hear is that she mentioned a patchwork of, I don't know what.
A quilt or something.
She's a quilt. And our message or one of our values is that we are a patchwork quilt of awesomeness. So I was like, ding, ding, ding. I love that people think the same way. It takes a village and it takes all kinds of people. And that's what they do. They, what did she say? How many people are on their volunteer?
They have to have 1,000 every year to make it work.
That's nuts. And they do it. So you know that there must be that many people. And I just, that's so inspiring.
But at the same time, in a town of 77,000 people, it's sad that it like takes that much work to get 1,000 volunteers.
That's true.
Because, you know, there's lots of people who have the time. They just maybe don't know about it or they need to be encouraged. So hopefully this podcast will do
that. And I knew that I knew the United Way did this, but I don't think a lot of people do. So not only do they give and give and give resources and put on all these programs, but they have a place where people who need volunteers can go and get
matched
to other two people who are willing and able to volunteer, which I just think is great. Mm-hmm. So even just sitting here for 20 or 30 minutes with her, I learned a little bit more about the United Way and how they live united. So listen up and take some notes because this is a really, really great podcast episode.
Today on Unfiltered Marketing, we are really excited to have Kylie Strau, the Executive Director of the United Way of Greater St. Joseph. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Yeah. She's with us today, and we're going to talk about a lot of fun things regarding volunteerism and marketing. But before we do all of that, I'd love for you just to give everyone a little background of how long you've been with United Way, just your background in general. And
sure.
Yeah.
So my United Way story started actually just moments after I was born, and I was life flighted to Children's Mercy Hospital, which is a United Way partner agency. I didn't know that at the time, or even as, you know, a young adult growing up, I didn't realize that Children's Mercy was a United Way partner agency. And then as I was getting involved volunteering, and I did some things in high school with United Way through a program they had called Youth Academy, I started to see more of United Way in my life and my family's life, and also in places that I volunteered with my mom and dad and with my church and things like that. So one of the things I'm still bitter about to this day is that I did not get to go to Safety Town, which is a United Way supported program. So I firmly believe they should start an adult Safety Town, just like one night fundraiser with maybe some wine and cheese and tricycles.
Can't you make that happen?
Trust me, I've tried.
But wine, cheese, and tricycles, that's like my dream.
Is it not golden? So yeah, I think the idea is just huge. In 2004, I was working for the Dillon Company, which is our family business. And my uncle happened to be pretty involved with United Way at the time and suggested I volunteer to help orchestrate a fundraising dinner that they had each year and kind of serve as the volunteer chair for that. And that was my first dabble as an adult in United Way. And what it led to a few months later was a job. So the staff member I worked most closely with called me right after the new year and said, I'm resigning to take a job somewhere else, and I think you might be interested in what I do. You should submit your resume. So I did, and the rest is history. I was hired in April of 2005 as the campaign director. In 2010, I was promoted to the president, and that's the capacity I serve in today.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, because you're a St. Joe native, too. You went to high school here and everything.
Born and raised. Okay. I'm an LB grad and a Missouri Western grad.
Wow. Awesome. That's so great, though, that history, like you said, it starts from when I was born to where you are now, and just how much the organization has grown since you've been in the leadership position that you're in. And I know we've all been on a committee of some capacity and have been able to help the United Way. And also, I think what happens in that situation is it always feels like you're given something back when you're able to volunteer. So
you do. sometimes you feel like you're receiving the support from United Way. So like my story with Children's Mercy, or my son has been to Children's Mercy. He did get to do Safety Town, things like that. Mm-hmm. Really fortunate that I haven't known a crisis in my life that's needed me to lean on some of our more emergency services like food pantry or emergency shelter. Yeah. But those are there every day for people too. And just like you mentioned with just your own staff here and their involvement in United Way, that's the very best part of my job, is we really get to serve as a conduit connecting people in the community to a way to express their caring, whether that's through giving, through volunteering, or for being a voice for the issues that impact people. And we have, on any given year, nearly 1,000 people that volunteer for United Way directly in some capacity. That doesn't even include the number of people who volunteer for our 17 partner agencies. Wow. So the impact is pretty tremendous.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because United Way has so many partners, is it hard to communicate a message? Or do you think that your organization has a strong message or a voice that they're able to get out? Because I can imagine like saying, oh, we need this kind of volunteer. Are we organizing everybody that wants to volunteer? How do you get a consistent message out, and what tools do you use?
I think that is a struggle we have every single day. And so if you take the big picture of United Way, what we've got going for us is that there are 1,200 United Ways across the world. So people have heard the term United Way and may have some idea about what United Way does.
Yeah.
Where it gets complicated is that all 1,200 United Ways are only connected by name alone. Oh. What happens at United Way in India, or United Way in California, or United Way of Kansas City is different than what happens at United Way of Greater St. Joseph, because every United Way is, for lack of a better term, independently owned and operated by their own community and their own board of directors.
Okay.
So there's pros and cons with that. And that makes it sometimes hard.
Right.
We have to make sure our message is just focused on hyper-local, that you are helping right here, right where we live, helping your friends and neighbors and your strangers.
Yeah. And your citizens might need different services than what people in Kansas City need, or...
They do.
Yeah.
The resources are different, and the things that plague communities are different all across the nation and the world. And then when you look at United Way of Greater St. Joseph and our messaging, it, again, is awesome and a struggle all at the same time. There is no lack of stuff to talk about that happens when you support United Way or you volunteer for United Way, because we have these 17 partner agencies and 7 initiatives who are all doing tremendous work and lots of it at the same time. How do you communicate that when you have somebody's attention for a couple of seconds?
Yeah.
And how do you boil it down so that they understand the idea of what they're a part of when they live United? And give. I read several years ago, it was not this most recent election, it was a few presidential elections back, but the underdog candidate was getting a lot of donors to turn their direction. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because of the platform that they were running on. It was because these donors became a really big fish in a small pond. Mm-hmm. They had a name for themselves. They were treated like royalty when they made a gift. And I thought, I wonder if that's the opposite for United Way. We are this ocean of agencies, thousands of people giving, hundreds volunteering every single year, and hundreds of programs happening in our community. Do we sometimes struggle because people don't feel like what they do matters?
Right.
And it does matter. So our challenge every day is communicating to you and you and you directly that action you take through volunteering or through giving or through putting something on social media that supports United Way, it does make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. This might be a hot topic, so if you don't want to get into it, we don't have
to.
No,
I love them.
Okay. So there's quite a few nonprofits in St. Joseph. I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine for the size of our town, there's quite a few per capita. So does that make it hard when you feel like everyone's competing, and maybe that's not the right word, but for donor dollars? And how do you, you know, make your case stand out? And does it ever feel weird? Like, these are the same people that you're all supporting each other in some way, but in another way, like, you still need the dollars to get going, because you guys are funded 100% by donation, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this can vary kind of with the leadership of the board and the director, but at United Way, we take a really positive stance in that it takes all of these nonprofits doing what they do and doing it really well mm-hmm. to really care for our community and better right. it. So we don't go out and ask donors to stop giving to one and start giving to another. We're trying to look for the people who've never been invited to give to anything mm-hmm. or who maybe their passions really align with what we do. And the beauty of the network with United Way is you can make one gift and have it help 17 different agencies. So maybe you don't have a parent that needs a mobile meal delivered to stay in their home, but you know somebody who does. When you've given to United Way, you've helped make that possible. Right. The same way you've helped make childcare possible for families, the same way you've helped make scholarships available for childcare teachers mm-hmm. so that they can better their development. So you get to have a hand in all those things. We are really fortunate in this community to have a lot of nonprofits because that means a lot of resources right. that are yeah. working to better lives in our community. But at the end of the day, to quote Pat Lilly of the Chamber, our community is a zero-sum game. So it's how do we best invest and spend the dollars that mm-hmm. people are willing to give to have the greatest impact on improving lives. And if there were a silver bullet, all of us would be trying to do it. But the fact of the matter is it takes this huge, beautiful quilt mm-hmm. to right. come together with everybody doing their own thing and yeah. doing it really well and knowing there's another agency out there that's going to help when they can't.
Right. Because if they weren't there, then you guys would possibly have to take on another cause, which means more money and resources.
Exactly.
And so,
yeah.
So one thing that's always hit me with the way that you guys allocate your resources is that so little of that, I think less than 10% goes to your staff expenses. Is
yeah.
that right?
So something that donors really like to hear a lot about is kind of the overhead and administration and then what goes into programs and services. And nearly 92 cents of every dollar that we receive at United Way goes to programs and services. The Better Business Bureau tells you to look for charities that are funneling 65 cents or more.
Wow.
Some people will say, well, I don't want any of it to go to overhead or administration. And I get that. My brain is logical and I get that. But I also see that if you don't have any overhead costs, you don't have any oversight
yeah,
either.
Right.
You don't have that annual independent audit coming in. You don't have some of those core functions that help make sure that that organization will be sustainable and doing a good job mm-hmm. with your money for a long time.
So then how has that been a challenge when it comes to things like marketing, which so many organizations feel like is a luxury to have like a dedicated marketing person or even to outsource it? What kind of challenges have you seen because of that?
For us, it's hard because we don't spend a lot of funds on buying airtime or print ads or anything mm-hmm. like that. We really depend on the generosity of our local supporters through the mm-hmm. media networks and things like that. And we depend on volunteers with their brains, their yeah. marketing brains to come in and yeah. help us. We do invest in a marketing person and we invest in a website and we invest in social media and things like that because we want all of those things we put out to be a good reflection yeah, of what our right. organization stands for. But we're constantly trying to strike a balance because we know it's a necessity. It's not a luxury. Mm-hmm. But then when you're looking at somebody requesting more money to feed hungry kids, oh, you yeah. have to strike yeah. that balance.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And it gets tough. And I think our volunteers struggle with that as well as our staff. Mm-hmm. And so we know that there's going to be some cost to do our business
yeah.
and to grow what we do so that we can help yeah. more people at the end of the day. But we also need to just find the balance in how we utilize the dollars. And there's no magic formula. It changes right. every day, every year. You just have to look at where you stand at any given moment.
Yeah.
I've had the pleasure of coming to their marketing board brainstorming sessions. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Like you can really tell that the people that are there are smart and passionate and willing to help. And the amount of ideas that go into those meetings, I just love it so much. I'm like over here with my pen just scribbling away. But that's how you guys make it work. I mean, you set a foundation of, like you said, a good website and you invest in that marketing person. But then it's those volunteers that take that and make the ripple effect so much bigger. So I love that idea. I think that's a really good point for any nonprofit to know that you're only as strong as your volunteers and how much help you get from others. And you guys definitely have some talent in your volunteer.
I don't think it's all that different how we make decisions on how to invest in things like marketing than it is for a for-profit business.
Right.
Their number might have another zero or a couple more on it. But my guess is they have a wish list sitting over to the side, just like we do. If they had all the money in the world to invest, what would they put it in? Mm-hmm. And you just have to make choices. And yeah, we do it every day.
Definitely. Well, we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, I'd love to talk about how you guys have utilized marketing efforts, whether that be paid or just grassroots, to engage more people in the organization, whether that be through volunteerism or just spreading the word. Hey, Jen, you know how we try to give our listeners kind of a social media workout for them to do on their own? Something that has come up recently is that Twitter is extending their character limit. Have you heard about this?
I have, 280.
Yes, so it's doubled. How should our listeners take this into play with their own social media marketing, and what's a workout you could give them regarding this extension?
I would have to say, if we're going to go on the workout theme, don't exert yourself
too much. What you did there.
So I don't think that giving more room or more characters is necessarily like going to solve all of your problems. And if it's abused, it could hurt you because people just will go on rants or, you know, not have a clear message. So some of the things that you can use the 280 characters to your advantage: more hashtags, more opportunities to tag people, and just make sure that you're being more creative. So long we've been chopping up our sentences and our tweets so that they are 140. Well, that took away a lot of the personality. So now you can use it more to do some company culture, be more creative with your tweets. And just because you have more room does not mean you need to be doing any more salesy pitches or being overly dramatic or anything. Sure. It's just a way for you to get your point across with a little bit more personality.
Okay. So keep up with a regular workout of at least 140 characters, but don't always feel like you have to go over that.
Right.
And if you do, do it for a good cause.
Yep.
Like maybe instead of having to shorten your link, they can see your full website and the link or something like that.
That's a really good point.
Well, there you have it, your social workout of the week on Twitter. All right, we are back with Kylie and Jennifer and myself, Anna.
West.
I actually just thought of something. West, like the direction. I just thought of something that popped in my head. I actually applied for a job at the United Way, like after college,
I think. Did you really?
Yeah, clearly didn't get it.
I don't know. I mean, if you apply again.
It was, I think, was Charlie Shields' wife still there?
Yeah. She would have been.
Yeah.
It was like, so we'll blame Brenda.
Yeah, it was Brenda's fault.
I wasn't in a hiring position at that point.
I thought Brenda might have my back because my parents knew her, so I was trying to pull that connection, and it just
Well, I'm glad you didn't. Worked.
Yeah, it all worked out.
She probably would have kept you.
I mean, I have a full staff now, but I'm just saying, if something would change.
Don't you dare.
Susan, do not listen to this podcast. Oh, man. Okay, anyway, that was just a random fact. I was just like, oh my gosh, I replied there.
Yeah. I have one employee who willingly shares that after applying for well over a decade, this person landed a job.
Oh, wow.
But it really comes down to being the right seat on the bus, being open for your strengths and skill set.
Yeah.
And when that happened, it was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
But I think everybody would have been unhappy years earlier.
Well, it's in such different a small positions. Staff that it does really, and there's probably not a lot of turnover that happens. So.
There's not.
Yeah.
Five full-time and five part-time people. And if we lose one a year, it's usually because they're moving out of town or retiring or something like that.
Yeah. No, that's good.
So. That's a good problem to have.
I know.
It is.
Well, we have one question that Anna and I kind of talked about together that we really want to pick your brain on. And it's just really uncovering the secrets of your marketing and communications that you've seen. I mean, you guys are talking constantly to volunteers, to donators, to the community about what you're doing. So we wanted to ask you what you've seen as the most effective way to communicate with your audience and your volunteers, and what have you... Oopsies. Sorry, my fancy necklace hit the desk. What have you seen that's worked and what hasn't worked? There's so many trendy things with communications, like, you know, Snapchat or Instagram. And do you use them? Do you find them to be effective? And how do you kind of cut through the noise and decide what avenues to use? So tell us what you've been doing in the past year, maybe, to communicate your message, and what is your favorite? What's failed? And
you just asked her like 10 questions.
Yeah. Answer to all of them is I have no idea. We literally just put a lot out there in different ways, and if we see that something's getting a lot of likes, or if it's an email and it gets some replies, mm-hmm. or it's a flyer and people call us and ask us for more copies, we think, oh, that's working. We should try it again.
Yeah.
And then we try it again and it doesn't work as well the second time. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of trying different things. One of the things we've learned is that our base is really broad. We have just under 10,000 donors, and we're communicating with, or trying to, 77,000 people that live in this community, because there's nobody in the community that isn't somebody we want to live united in some way. So we have to use a lot of channels. We can't segment our base and say, you know what, we are focused on the 30 to 40 year olds with an average income of 75,000 that own their homes. And then
That'd be so much easier.
Is how we communicate.
That would be easy.
We're focused on everybody, whether it is the person who meets that criteria or the person who recently lost their job and might need some help and needs to know what services are available in the community. So we use a mix, and we try to use a mix of low cost options, a lot of email, a lot of social media. What we found is we're not putting as much on our website. We're putting more of it to Twitter and Facebook, and then that might drive them to our website for more information. We haven't gotten into Instagram and Snapchat like we probably should.
Yeah.
But one of the things we learned a couple years ago, there was a push to really get into Pinterest, and we just didn't have the time, the human capital to do it well. And if we can't do it well, we don't want to do it at all. So we stayed back, and I think it ended up being a good move, because that's not what any of us go on Pinterest for.
No.
Right.
We go on to find how to decorate our house, or recipes to make, or party planning ideas. We don't go on to learn about what the local nonprofits are doing to help our homeless in the community.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why you guys have been successful, because you know your strengths, you know what your capacity is. So you pick things that work and that you can do well, and you do those. So I think that that can be applied to any marketing plan.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we've tried to do over the last 4 years is really make a lot of our information look similar and sound similar.
Yep.
So it might be that we are having a program for parents with young children through United Way Success by Six, but we want the color palette and the font and the messaging to stay the same and to be the same across every United Way Success by Six thing, but also tie into the overall organization messaging so that people have an idea of who's putting that on and where it stems from, because you can have things that look really glitzy and grab a lot of attention, but they don't know who was at the root of it.
And now we see the white t-shirt with the black letter on it. I'm like, oh, yep, Live United, United Way of St. Joseph.
Yeah.
So, and the colors. Yeah. So I love that idea. And we talk about that with our clients all the time.
Yeah.
Just consistency is best, so that they don't have to do any research.
Yeah.
They know.
Brand recognition.
Brand recognition is so important. And you guys do a really good job on that.
Yeah, One of the things we've tried that was just an absolute epic failure, and this was 2 years ago, and I still feel like I'm like mentally paying for it. We thought texting to give was going to be the next like hottest thing. So we set up the provider and we did this huge blitz at a Missouri Western football game. There were 7,000 people in the stands and it was publicized all over the radio airing, and we made like $340 at $10 a hit person of people trying to text. And some of it, I think, is because people are already so generous. We're number 34 in the nation on per capita giving in our local United Way. So people are already giving and giving a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't feel like they wanted to give the extra $10 because they already signed up for $400 a year through their company.
Right. Yeah, maybe so.
But also we learned things we never would have anticipated. If you have a company cell phone, text to give is often blocked because you're running up the company's bill, not your own.
Oh.
If you're on a family plan, text to give is often blocked because mom or dad doesn't want to pay for what you're texting.
Oh, so it's...
And so we just found all these things where people said, well, I tried, but it didn't go through. And we had really hoped that we might raise $10,000 that day.
No.
Yeah. Well,
we were just a little off.
Even if everyone gave a dollar, you would have made seven.
Exactly.
But,
No.
But it wasn't that. It was the avenue in which you were asking people to give to.
I think, And I think so many, we were talking to people who oftentimes are already donors.
Yeah.
You know, so, and we don't want a nickel and dime them. That's one of the reasons we run our fundraising campaign only in the fall. And you don't hear us asking you to give the other 10 months out of the year. It's because we want to ask you to give once and give big and help support services for that whole next calendar year. We don't want to send you something every month making a plea and asking you to give more and more and more.
Right. But that's marketing. I mean, what you just said is what we sometimes experience with our own clients. Like, I totally would have thought that would have worked for you guys and was a great avenue, because especially a lot of charities like the Red Cross do that. that, and it always seems to, you know, go great for them. But you sometimes do have to experiment and try things to know, like, either it wasn't a bad idea, but we learned some things to make it better and try next time, or that was a flop and we're never going to do that again and we learned the hard way.
We might try it again at some point in the future, but something would have to change.
Right.
And I think just sometimes admitting that you were wrong is the hardest part, but a really necessary part.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could have said, we're going to stop this text to give and not try it again. Or we could have said, oh, we're going to try it again and change some things and hope it works, and then still not had it work and spent more time when we could have tried a different approach that may have paid off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You live and you learn.
You do.
Do you every guys, day. On your Facebook page, are you using the donate button that's available there?
We just tried that last week. And I don't think we actually have used it on the United Way page. I've used it on my personal page and linked it. It's definitely not like our preferred method to give because it's got a little higher processing cost than if people would go to our website and give. But from the convenience factor, we absolutely want to make it available.
Yeah,
so we haven't seen any activity. We tried some paid ads on Facebook last fall during campaign. Mm-hmm. We didn't get a single pledge through the click-throughs on that. So you may see a couple paid ads just because we're going to try it again. And it's pretty low cost. You can invest $10 or $15 and get some reach if nothing else.
Right.
We didn't invest heavily in that. We had thought we might, but the return last year just didn't prove that it was there, and we couldn't pinpoint what we had done wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's the nice thing about those is there's a lot of analytics with knowing like how many reach and how many you clicked through, but not depending on where you sent them on your site or how detailed the behind the scenes were of how the ad was set up. I mean, those ads are complicated to set up, and there are so many different filters that you can put in that it's a little, that's why we have an ad management fee because it takes so much time to even set one up. It
does. And just to stay in touch with the changing things of Facebook and how they are changing the rules and learning that and relearning it. Mm-hmm. I have seen the donate button work when an individual posts, help this charity that I love for my birthday or because I just had a work promotion and you want to give me a gift or something like that. But I haven't seen a lot of activity where it's working when the charity itself is posting it. So it really looks like it depends on that friendship relationship is what encourages people.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Facebook ads are hard when you have such a big pool. Like you said earlier, we're not segmenting our donations coming from any certain type or demographic or audience. We want to everybody to know. And that's kind of hard because Facebook is like, okay, who, what, when, where, and why. They are so obsessed with you telling them exactly what to do as far as who you want to talk to. So I can see where it would be.
Yeah. Well, and because of our 17 agencies and the number of programs they all run, we have to talk about some really broad categories. And we tend to hone in on help kids or whatnot. But it's hard to even drill down and say, help what kid with how did you improve their life? Because if you do, and we give that attention to one of our agencies, we need to do it to the rest as well, because they're all doing really good work. Right. So then you've taken our budget and multiplied it by 17, which sometimes then makes it unreachable.
Yeah. When did you guys start the Live United as your new tagline?
It rolled out from United Way Worldwide in about 2007, 2008.
Okay.
And prior to that, it had been What Matters. And typical of, you know, many organizations, it needed a refresh. And it rolled out as Live United, and it was something we could really get behind. They did another refresh last year, and it's one we've not fully adopted at this point, and verdict is still out as to how much we will adopt it locally, because it takes a little more of a negative approach of what will you Live United against, and a little bit of a darker approach where we tend to really focus on the hopefulness in our community, and that seems to be what really drives people. We don't want to use scare tactics of how bad will it get if you don't give. We want to show how good will it get if you're a part of it.
Right.
So,
and how good is it right now because of the donations that we've gotten?
Yeah. So we're really still focused on the Live United message, the coming together, the reach out a hand to one, and you influence the condition of us all.
I love that.
So you're not forced to use anything National puts out?
We are not. Okay. There's a couple things like our logo. We have to use it. We have to use it with the localized information. So it says United Way of Greater St. Joseph. We can't change the color palette of it, things like that. But we are not forced to fully adopt anything else beyond that.
That was basically the answer to one of the questions that we had about about how you make a national brand more local. Mm-hmm. So I love that you guys take a nationally recognized brand or organization and make changes to it or protect it to what it pertains to our community, yeah. right? I said that in a very choppy way, but basically you guys have chosen, we're going to stick with Live United because it speaks more to our passion and what we're seeing from our volunteers. They like that, that message, they feel it, they mm-hmm. can really get behind it. So I think that's genius.
And for some smaller United Ways who maybe can't have somebody on staff to do marketing yeah. or doesn't have the beauty of the volunteer base that mm-hmm. we do that will help with graphic design and things like that, those prepackaged tools from United Way Worldwide come in really handy. What we felt like when we received them was they probably look like somebody's community, but they don't look or feel like ours. Yeah. And they don't look and feel like what ours needs right now.
Yeah.
You know, right here in the greater St. Joseph mm-hmm. area. So we really try to shape our messaging just like we do our work and yep. what we invest in as to what fits our community and our population.
Yeah. So if you wanted to choose like your own tagline or campaign theme, could you do that, or you still have to go with what national?
No, we've got the ability to do okay. that. Now, I couldn't change it to Love United
yeah.
from Live United yeah. because that's taking something they've got mm-hmm, and right. spinning it a little bit. But just like this year, our campaign theme is really improve life here every day.
Okay.
No other United Way that we know of is using that. That was developed in a marketing committee meeting in Tammy's office after, you know, 9,000 ideas that yeah. I text or email her in the middle of the night, and she does the same when you're thinking of it in the shower, and mm-hmm. our committee members do.
Yeah.
So we've got the ability to customize it in that way.
Okay. Maybe you can tell our listeners, like, what's the best way for people to either give? Maybe they're not local to our community, or maybe they are, but they'd still love to give to the causes that you guys support. And then how can people get involved as far as volunteerism goes?
Sure. So a lot of our community is invited to give through their workplace. Several companies in town run a campaign, and that is the most easy and convenient way for a donor. It's also the most efficient way for United Way to receive a gift, because you look at a company, say Altec, and hundreds of people can give through their company, and it's one payment we process at United Way. So it means more of your dollar right. gets out.
And it's just a payroll deduct for
it's
them.
It's a payroll deduct. Really it happens it. A little bit every week or every 2 weeks. And for us, we get those remitted, but instead of us getting hundreds of checks from mm-hmm. hundreds of donors every week, it's lumped in together. So it makes it a really efficient process. Yep. But then there are some companies that don't allow for a United Way campaign, or people who work for a company that maybe doesn't have their bricks and mortar here in the St. Joseph or Savannah area. And they can give online. They can call our office and make a pledge. We can work with them any way they want to. Some people like to write a check all up front. Some mm-hmm. people want us to debit their bank account once a month. Some people want to mail in a payment once a month. And some people want to just do it online. We make all those options available, and we try to make it really simple. You simply call our office or log on and tell us you want to give, and we'll let you know your options and walk you through making that happen. The other thing about when you give to United Way and our partner agencies through United Way is that one gift goes and helps at 17 agencies and 7 initiatives, which means their staff doesn't have to go out and fundraise as hard, which mm-hmm. means they can focus on delivering the services that they really excel at and are right. skilled to do, because they know that United Way is out asking on their behalf in this consolidated effort. It also means a variety of needs in our community are met mm-hmm. on any given day at any given time. Some things are really, really easy to raise money for. They tug at everybody's heart, and it's awesome. And then there are some things people don't really want to talk about mm-hmm. and they don't want to admit have an impact in our community. And through United Way giving, you're a part of all of that. All of those agencies receive that help, even if their cause isn't one that makes for a great ask right out yeah. of the gate. As far as volunteering, we actually have United Way Volunteer Center. So not only do we need about 1,000 volunteers a year just through United Way to do our programs and serve on our board and our finance committee and marketing committee, but we also have a volunteer center that simply serves as a connector, a conduit, people or groups who want to volunteer to agencies, churches, and schools that need volunteers. We have a staff person as well as a website dedicated to help making those matches. It's like match.com, except it's not for dating. You're going to find a place to go spend a couple hours on Saturday or to go volunteer with your team as a team building event. You can reach out to us again through our office, through our Facebook website, or just picking up the phone. And we do everything from helping the person who has found themselves with a lot of time on their hands, maybe because of retirement or they're now an empty nester and they were a stay-at-home parent before, so they want something real consistent that they can do, to the Boy Scout troop or the team from a workplace that says, we want to go spend 4 hours together doing some bonding and team building. How can we help the community?
And your website is?
StJosephUnitedWay.org. Okay. Saint is abbreviated. Joseph is spelled out.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's ST Joseph.
StJosephUnitedWay.org. And if you type Untied Way, it won't ever get to us, but it's really easy to do.
And you're on Facebook and Twitter.
We are. So okay. United Way Greater St. Joseph on both. Twitter's a little more funny because you've got some capitalization and abbreviation, but you can find us. You.
Okay. Yeah. Good deal.
We're also on LinkedIn, but we have like 12 followers and I have 10 staff. So you do the math.
All right, I'll go add.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that because I'd like to see it spike today.
Absolutely. No, that's a great way for businesses to, you know, see from the corporate perspective a little more. So that's good. Okay. Jen, anything else that you want to chat about?
Well, I want to go volunteer after talking to Kylie. But no, thank you for letting us pick your brain because I see what you guys are doing and I hear your message loud and clear, which means it's working because I don't even live in St. Joe.
We love to hear that.
So I think you guys are doing a great job. And on our podcast, we dedicated this whole season to talking to businesses and organizations that were doing something good and doing something worthwhile and really using their brains to further their marketing. And you guys are hitting it on the nail on the head. So I'm so glad we got to pick your brain.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed getting to talk about it. And you made me think a little bit too, like, do we know why that's not working?
Yeah.
We really don't.
We'd be happy to brainstorm anytime.
Well, I'm going to stop suggesting people use text to give.
It might work for others. It just didn't for us.
I've never done it. So I might look into it now. But.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kylie.
Yes, thank you
so much.
Continue today's topic with us by tweeting your thoughts to Marketing SJC or visit our website, sjc.marketing.